accession number 21278, Reel 3.
Cliff Pember, Reel 3. Now, you've just shown me some photographs here, which is Normandy, July 1944. And there's your crew commander, Pat Kettridge, and he was the officer.
No, he wasn't an officer,
no,
sergeant.
He was a sergeant, right, sorry. And then there's Cliff Pember, known as Taff, Vic Holden, Jack Edwards, and then a corporal, I can't remember the name of. And just put on if there's another one there. The Frontline Normandy, July 1944, Sherman Tank under the net. And you've got the corporal, Jack Edwards, Cliff Pember, Vic Holden and Pat Kettridge again. And there's your tank near Lübeck in May 45. Did your tank have a name? Was it the same tank, was it? You didn't have a name for it.
Oh, it's a comet, that, isn't it?
Sorry?
That's a comet.
That's a comet, oh, right.
That was the one we've done the invasion of Germany with.
So you never named your
tanks? No, never did. Not like the
Americans. Some people did, yeah. Some people did, yeah. Could you just pull the mic just a little bit round? That's lovely. That's fine. So, right. So, we got up to where you were at Camille, cleaning tanks in a monastery area. So that was quite peaceful then, was it?
Yeah, good, yeah.
It was a welcome rest, yeah. What did you do when you had some free time? Did you sleep or what was the big priority?
Rest mostly, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Have a good wash, like, and shave and different things, like, have a good clean up.
Because how many hours might you be sort of active each day? I mean, quite long periods.
Pardon?
How many hours might you be active each day when you were in battle or in the line?
Well, you didn't know, did you, like, really?
Right.
Could be quite a while.
Mm.
But we out of the line quite. What they used to or try and do was to have one troop on rest period.
Mm.
Out of the line, like, you know.
Right.
So you give the crews a rest, like.
Yeah.
Every so often they leave a crew of a tank out, like. Go back with the echelon.
Yeah.
Okay. Be able to clean up and different things like that.
Yeah.
Like. But.
And then you went to Gazelle. Concentration area where you were concealed. Don't ring any bells. And then we go into Operation Goodwood.
Don't mention that.
Yeah, you remember that then.
I remember that then.
Yeah.
We moved at night and went across Pegasus Bridge at night. And we ended up by the gliders where the airborne landed. And we stopped there. And about 4:30 one morning, about 2,000 bomber raid come over and dropped their bombs, and then we done the Battle of Goodwood, like,
right.
Which is the 5th and 4th, if I remember correctly, the 5th and 4th Homery led the attack.
Mm. Yeah. You had to go through a minefield, did you?
Well, we went over two railway lines.
Right. Uh-huh.
But they had the Canadian artillery was firing in front of us, so.
Uh-huh.
And they had what they call a creeping barrage.
Uh-huh.
And as we went on, we could see the German guns, but we had no sign of any Germans at all.
Really?
But when we went past, they must have come out from the ground and shot us up the behind, like. And we had lost quite a few tanks there.
Because it says here that in the leading wave, B Squadron was on the left.
The left flank protection,
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Guards Armour Division was supposed to be on our left, but I don't know what happened to them. Like, but
well, you were told they'd be there, but.
They were supposed to be there, yeah.
Oh, right.
There was three armour divisions, weren't there? There was the Guards, the 11th, and the 7th Armour Division was in reserve. They were going to do the breakthrough.
Right.
But it never happened, did it?
Right. So, I mean, you got little opposition, and then you reached the Caen-Vimont railway line without serious casualties.
Yeah.
And then B Squadron in the lead to Solier and 4, occupied by German infantry. German tanks in Borgbus. Yeah. A squadron moved to protect the southeast flank, just northeast of Four, and destroyed two Panthers. Panthers counterattacked and took tank casualties. Fife and Forfer relieved by 23H and moved back. Lost 37 tanks with heavy casualties.
Yeah.
So that was quite a battle.
Well, when you see so many aeroplanes going over and dropping bombs and then have an artillery barrage, you wouldn't think anybody could live through it. But we had a lot of casualties there. But we had more casualties in the night than what we had then. Our tank got knocked out and we walked back to the first aid.
The night after this?
Well, you know, when our tank got knocked out,
yeah,
we walked back to
so
the first aid.
Sorry, how did your tank get knocked out? What was it hit
at the back.
Right.
The crew got out, like, all the crew got out.
Right, so you all got out.
Yeah. We all got out and we walked back to the first aid station.
Right, so what was
seen
it
a lot of German casualties then.
Really?
A lot of German soldiers, casualties and wounded and that. And then we went from there then to our forward delivery station where we had to wait for new tanks to come up.
Right, yeah.
And we were there then in the night. There was a couple of tanks there. And the Germans come over at night and dropped anti-personnel bombs. I got inside a tank. I was all right, but a lot of others didn't. And I think we had about 35 casualties then.
Really? And that was at the?
At the forward delivery station where they were waiting for tanks to come up.
So the Germans had really got sussed out exactly where all your bits were, weren't they?
So where the gliders were, you see. And in the morning it was bloody horrendous to see all the casualties you had. Like.
So that was quite shocking, really, wasn't it? Yeah. Because you must have seen a lot of tanks knocked out.
Oh, yeah. See them on fire, like, you know.
Yeah.
As I say, that's what the infantry used to call them, was once in a lighter, like, because they used to go up in flame, like. But,
Did your squadron, your troop, lose tanks?
Yeah.
Yeah. So people you knew?
Well, we were second, we were, like, and on the left flank protection. And it was bloody horrendous and terrible. But as I say, you wouldn't think anybody could live after all the attack had been done, like, with all them planes going over.
But, do you think they'd known the planes were going to be coming, or did they come as a surprise?
They thought that was going to be a breakout. They thought that once we got over that plain, the 7th Armoured Division would have gone straight to Paris or wherever they wanted to go, like, but it never happened.
So you were pinned down.
It just filled, and then the just fizzled out or something, yeah.
Did you lose faith in your tank a bit?
Pardon?
Did you lose faith in your tank, it having been knocked out fairly easily?
Well, we knew they were very vulnerable to the German tanks, like.
It was a tank shell that hit you, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
But you all got out without a scratch?
All got out, yeah. We all got out.
Yeah.
Didn't take us long to get over.
which exit did you go out?
I was running through my hatch.
Right.
Yeah. Much like happened, the gun was straight ahead, like.
Yeah. Because if the gun was turned round, would that make it difficult?
Well, I wouldn't have got out of there. But I might have got out through the escape hatch, but sometimes you wouldn't get enough ground clearance to get out, like.
Yeah.
But.
So. Pretty shocking, really. You got all the casualties back at the
German casualties, and when you see the Germans there, they're eating this black bread. Breaking it off like it. And they were tough. The German soldiers were very tough.
This was German infantry, wasn't it?
Yeah. The Wehrmacht. They weren't the SS like, because the infantry wouldn't let any of them. Bump them off, didn't they?
Yeah. So what did you think of the individual German soldier?
Well, sometimes I felt sorry for them, to be honest with you. Because they always looked like if they were, well, underfed. And, but of course, when you got against the elite ones, like the SS and that, and the Hitler Jungens, a different kettle of fish, like.
Yeah. What did it do to you, seeing the German soldiers, which you and your your friends had damaged, really? You know, seeing your casualties, the one you'd made.
Oh, worry about it.
Mm. Mm.
But, I mean, I don't think they wanted to be where they were anyway, the Germans. It's just a thing that was forced onto them, and
terrible. They were being driven back. I mean, they'd been driven back quite a long way by now, hadn't they? Yeah. So they knew they were on a loser, eventually.
Yeah.
So that was... So how long did you have to wait for another tank?
Not long. They'd come up. As I said, there was plenty of them about them days.
Right, so it's another Sherman.
Another Sherman tank, yeah.
Absolutely identical.
Yes, exactly the same. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. No quirks of drivability or anything. No. Right, okay. So it says here, the day after Operation Goodwood, only 25 tanks. Regiment organised into A and C squadron. So B squadron disappeared, did it? Yeah. Death of Squadron Major Joe Powell.
Powell.
Yeah. Did you know him?
I can't remember. I thought Gilmore was our squadron leader.
Right. Okay.
Major Gilmore.
Uh huh. So it says morning in reserve, heavy shell fire. This is the 19th, the day after Goodwood. 6 o'clock. Can't speak. 6 o'clock. Attack on Hubert Foley. Preliminary barrage. C squadron followed by A squadron captured village with no casualties, lagered northeast of railway. So this was probably when you were getting your new tank, wasn't it? Demouville, 20th and 21st, lager, and it rained. Ardennes Abbey, reduction of recce troop and AA troop, personnel sent to squadrons, reinforcements. 22nd, and then a move La Ruelle. These names aren't meaning anything to you, because they didn't have little signposts at the time, did they? Comor, attack with 159 Brigade on high ground west of Comor. Problem with minefield. B squadron on right assisted Herefords, ran into mines and lost 7 tanks.
Yeah, we lost one. I bailed out of one.
Right. Do you remember that day? So
as I said, I typed, you know, the track got blown off, like, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Where were you going? What was the
situation? Well, we were going up the road, we were going up the road, like, you know.
Mm.
Just blew up and that was it.
Right, so you bailed out again.
Well, it didn't set the tank on fire or anything like that, it just blew the track off.
Mm.
Just immobilised us, like, you know. Yeah. So the first thing we done then was get out, have a brew of tea, have some food, because... In France, big edge in these roads is big high banks, so nobody could get past us. So when they went across, of course they got into a minefield, didn't they?
Oh really? What?
So this road was banked. This road was banked.
Yeah.
But when we got hit, nobody could pass us, so they had to go up on the ground.
Yeah.
Of course, it was a minefield, and that's where they lost the tanks.
Oh really? Yeah. Because if someone had hit your track off.
Yeah.
Right. So, what did you do then? Did you go back?
No, we just have to wait then.
Oh, you waited then. There. Yeah. What, someone came and put your tank.
Until the recovery vehicle come, like, you know. To and then we had another tank then, like.
Right. Okay. So that night, lager just north of highest point. Okay. Next day, Saint Martin de Bezace. Everyone have a laugh at my French. Advance with KSLI to Saint-Ouen de Bessace. A squadron attack with Herefords. Difficult terrain and AT guns. A squadron lost 2 tanks. Confusion over location of US troops on the right. Do you remember that?
Confusion, right? Yeah. That's not the time where they bloody got bombed themselves, when the American planes come over and killed 500 of them, didn't they?
Really?
Well, I think that was later on. That was in the Falaise Gap, I think.
Right, okay. Attack up to crossroad area, crossroad carrying Herefords on tank.
Yeah.
Do you have Herefords on your tank?
Well, we had infantry on there. I don't know where they, what company they were or what, but we used to have them on there, like, carry them on the backs.
Uh-huh. And lagered in crossroads area. Mm-hmm. Two troops advanced further but ran onto mines and AT guns. Yeah, as you've told us, I think. And then you were at Saint-Martin de Bessais on the 1st of August, okay? 10 o'clock, advance on line, crossed River Soulevre and occupied high ground.
I can't remember.
Right, okay. On the 2nd, advance to Le Reculi, consolidation, push on to Le Perrier Ridge beyond Bercy. A squadron travelled down Sunken Lane to cut Vivier Road, ambushed German convoy, then attacked by US aircraft.
That's it, Danny.
Yeah. Four troop left as advanced larger.
I remember being attacked by American aircraft.
Really? How did that happen then?
Well, I don't know. It's just one of these things, like, isn't it, you know? Normally, we have a flare to put out, like, you know, but I don't know why they put a flare out this time or not. But later on, every regiment had a RAF lieutenant or somebody from the RAF with them.
Really?
So they could, if you wanted aircraft support, he could get the Typhoons in to shell whatever it was.
Right.
And every regiment, every tank regiment had one with them anyway. RAF chap.
Right. Okay. The 4th of August, Germans recapture Bercy. And then the 5th of August, infantry recapture Bercy and A squadron covering in defensive positions.
I think you're in the Falaise Gap now, aren't you?
Could be.
Could be.
It doesn't say Falaise.
No, but is there Falaise in there yet?
There will be. Oh. We'll get there if we haven't already. German infantry attack repelled and C squadron attempted to mop them up.
Yeah.
And then the 6th of August, morning little activity, 2 o'clock German bombardment and Allied air attack. German attack. A squadron attacked by tanks and infantry, knocked out 3 tanks and 2 SP. 2 Tiger tanks infiltrate Bercy and knock out 2 C squadron tanks. Did you see any of that?
No.
No. Sergeant Scott of C squadron destroyed 1 Tiger and damaged another. Fighting until 9 o'clock in the evening, Germans withdrew. The 7th of August, A and C squadron amalgamated. So which squadron? You were still in B squadron?
I was in B squadron.
Yeah, right, okay. German attack from west against A squadron, 2 Mark IVs destroyed. Tiger tanks on high ground at Le Haut Perrier engaged A squadron and 5 tanks destroyed. B squadron moved against Tigers and destroyed. Do you remember moving against the Tigers?
I can't remember that.
Where did you first encounter a Tiger tank? Do you remember that? Because they had a real reputation.
I thought the Tiger tanks, they were on the Panthers. Panther were most of the ones we've seen, but the Tiger.
Right.
I can't remember the Tiger tanks at all.
What opinions did you have of the different German tanks? Because it must have been crucial for you to know what you were up against.
Oh, they were far superior to our tanks. Like. But I did notice that if you hit a German tank, the crew would bail out. Because I think the armour inside the German tanks used a splinter.
Oh, right.
I'm not sure, but
yeah.
That's the only thing I could think of. As soon as they were hit, they would be out.
Really?
They wouldn't stop in, like.
Yeah. So, Scott wounded.
Pardon?
Scott wounded, it says. Heavy German shell and mortar fire. And then the next day, the 8th of August, relieved by RSG under cover of smoke. So they got you pinned down then.
Yeah. put the smoke down, you can withdraw easy enough then, like, you know, but you're losing me a little bit because there's so much happened at that particular time.
Yeah. What can you remember? I mean, you know, it doesn't matter if you can't remember where it was, but, you know, what...
Well, I can remember one day we were out of the line on rest period, and all of a sudden one of the tanks had got knocked out, so they had to have a replacement. Now, instead of sending the full crew, they left our crew commander behind, because the tank that got knocked out was a lieutenant crew commander, and he wanted to come. He wanted to take control of another tank, like, so he was our crew commander then, and it's only a young chap and all, but we went up into the line then, and on the 18th of August, I got wounded, like.
Right, okay. So what did you feel about losing your crew commander you'd had for quite a while?
Oh, he's good. Well, he's only a sergeant, like, but he was good, like.
Yeah. So did you...
But this officer insisted that he wanted to go with that crew, you see.
Right.
So
yeah,
that was it, like.
Yeah. What did you feel about that? Would you have rather stuck to the man?
I'd rather have stuck to the sergeant, I would have, yeah. Because this lieutenant, but yeah, was a bit of a death and glory boy.
Yeah.
He got killed anyway, so...
It's not what you really want as your crew commander, is it? A death of glory merchant.
No. One of these boys, you know.
Yeah.
I remember the day that I got wounded, we were going into an orchard. Well, it seemed like an orchard. A lot of trees. And I could remember hearing over the intercom, one of the fellas inside the turret, get your head down. But he wouldn't take no notice, like. So, really speaking, when the tank caught on fire, I really don't know what happened. I thought we got it with a bazooka. And I thought the turret crew had been killed. But Jack Edwards, who was the wireless operator, he got out the same time as me, like.
Right, and that was on the 18th of August.
On the 18th of August.
Yeah, right.
And I couldn't get out of my hatch. All I could see was smoke in the turret, like. So I said to Vic Alden, get out, Vic. He wouldn't get out, like. So I guess on the top of him, and I guess I could drop the escape hatch. I couldn't get out of the escape hatch at all because there's not enough ground clearance. And I couldn't get out of my ass because the gun was over it. So I went over the top of him and out, and down by the side of the tank. Vic got out, and the sniper got him. And got him right up at the back, yeah.
Yeah.
He must have got him as he turned round and jumped down.
Right, so at the back.
Of course, I was by the side of the tank now. Mm. And Vic, I got Vic around by the side of me like that. And every time he groaned, you could hear a burst of machine gun fire coming like that. Through the thing.
So they were that close, they could actually hear
it. They were, so it must have been a bazooka, it is, but I wasn't sure, like. And, I got, there's a tow bar on the side of the tank, so I got on the bogey wheel like that and hanging on there, like, was. So every time old Vic was groaning, the machine gun bullets were coming, like, I was all right.
Oh, you were keeping your feet off the ground.
I was keeping my feet off the ground, like.
Right.
So there was a tank now coming up to get us. Mm-hmm. Well, coming up he was, like. And all of a sudden I see something going through the air like that. And land just in front of the tank. It was a bazooka, it was. But it was out of range, wasn't it? So it exploded in front of the tank and in between our tank. Caught me all up this side, yeah. But only fragments, superficial wounds, you know. But it was enough to drive me off. And as you go, I had a burst of machine gun fire come and something caught me on the leg, yeah.
Got you on the other leg.
But it, I don't think it was, I don't know whether it, bullets or what it was, but there was things, when I got into the hospital, the first aid place, there was all things stuck in my legs, like, you know. Anyway, the tank started to move. The tank started to move, and there's Jack Edwards in there. I said, Jack, Vicky's down by there. And he gets out, and as he gets out, he gets wounded, like. So what happened inside the turret, I don't know.
Right. So
I really don't know, but I thought the turret crew was killed, like, because the amount of flames and everything that was coming out of there, I thought that was it, like. The only thing I was concerned about was getting out.
Yeah.
And anyway, Vic died anyway. But Jack must have got on the other tank, because I didn't see him after, because I went straight, I could see a tree and a rock, so I went over there. Sat down behind this bloody rock like this, and all of a sudden I could feel things coming to life.
In your legs, yeah.
So I could hear somebody shouting, "Tanky, Tanky." I looked across and there was all infantry fellas. Well, I didn't know who they were, but they were calling me like, "Come here, come over here." So I crawls over where they were. There was about 15 of them in the trench, all wounded, really? Waiting for the first aid people to come up to pick us up.
Yeah.
So I ended up in Villers Bacars and in Field Hospital. Like. And I didn't think I would get on because, you know, I don't think the wounds are all that bad. But one day, I walked like that, and my foot was going forward like that. So I said to the sister when she came around, like I said, "There's something happening to my foot." Oh, she had a look at it. Like, next thing I knew, they gave me an injection, right? And they put me in. And when I woke up, my leg was all in plaster.
Oh, right.
They'd forced it back like that and put plaster on it. So they sent me home then.
Right. So tell me, from when you were with these infantry, wounded infantry in the ditch there, what came to collect you?
But
what came to collect you? Was it an ambulance or
no? It was a jeep with stretchers on it.
Mm-hmm.
Take about three or four people like at the
right.
time.
Driven by what? RAMC or
by the the Royal Medical Corps.
Right. Uh-huh. And was it a long
and they
journey?
Take you down to an ambulance. See?
Mm-hmm.
I can remember going in the ambulance, but after that I got to the first aid station. It was at Villers Bacars.
Yeah. So what sort of a station was that? Was it a big
canvas
area?
Canvas.
Big marquee. Yeah. So were they getting a lot of casualties in at that time?
Oh yeah, a lot of casualties. Mm. German casualties and British casualties there, but you know.
Yeah. So who was it staffed by? It was staffed by army doctors, army orderlies, and Queen Alexandra's nurses.
Yeah, all different nurses. Yeah.
Right. So how efficient was it? I mean, was it?
It seemed to be very, very efficient, like you know.
So they were coping.
Tide
of casualties.
And I think the stretcher cases, they were flying out, like, you know.
Right.
Decoders. I got flown home on a decoder, I did, like.
Did you? So how long were you at this dressing station?
Oh, I can't remember. A couple of days, I suspect.
Right. And you had your leg set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think, if they hadn't put it in plaster, I don't think I'd have come home.
Right.
They'd have kept me there.
Right.
But being as they put it in plaster, they had to give me penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
And penicillin had just started then, I think. And every time you had an injection of that, they put a label on you, you know.
Right.
I had a label, and marked this label, that's it, how many you had, like. And next thing then, I just said, oh, you'd be going home, like. So they flew me home in a decoder.
Yeah. So what did you feel about being sent home?
Well, there's not much I could do about it, really. I was immobile, and that was it, like.
Right. Cliff Pember, end of reel 3.